Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
So I want to talk to you today about a father's love, and if you got your Bibles here in Ferguson and Weldon, go ahead and flip them over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. It's right after chapter 4. If you don't have your Bibles with you, we'll put it on the Bible in the sky right there on the side. And here's what it says. Verse 21, it says, "And when Jesus had crossed again to the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus." Now listen. I'm going to be up front with all you guys. My wife and I have argued about this, what his name is. I say Jairus. She says it's Jairus. So I'm going to probably say it three different ways while we're here today. Okay? So his name, we'll just call him, so far I'm good, Jairus. And I can barely say it. By name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet. So if we're not careful, I want to put you into this situation here this morning on Father's Day. I want to put you right here. Here's a ruler of a synagogue. Here's a guy that the scribes and Pharisees of this time, they're not big fans of Jesus Christ's ministries. Because they are saying, hey, here's what Moses said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And then Jesus comes along and says, hey, love your neighbor as yourself. So it's really not the same. Things are a little bit different. But this guy's got a problem. This guy has an issue. His 12-year-old daughter is dying. His 12-year-old daughter is at home dying. All bets are off. He doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about a reputation. He doesn't care about anything. The only thing he cares about is his 12-year-old daughter dying. This story set home for me because my son is 12 years old. And I started thinking about a father's love. And here he comes. And the Bible says he falls at his feet. He fell at his feet. Get this for a second. He's got a reputation. He's supposed to be this ruler. He's supposed to be all these other things, but he doesn't care. He just falls at Jesus' feet. Can I tell you today? No matter what you're going through, no matter the situations that you're facing, the first thing we're going to have to do is fall at Jesus' feet. We're just going to have to fall down at his feet. It took a huge humility for this guy to come to Jesus. Huge humility. And the Bible actually says, check this out. James 4:10, it says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you." He may exalt you. Have you ever wanted to exalt yourself? Liars. Everybody's lying. Fathers, can we just get real on Father's Day? Here, Weldon, all at Ferguson, let's just get real for a second online. Here's what we do. As dads, when we actually take care of the kids, we want the mothers to make sure that they know that we took care of the kids. See, maybe not you, but I have, and I always say this, you can't babysit your own kids. They're your kids. So, but I have forgotten to feed my kids before. And Victoria's like, "When was the last time they ate?" And I was like, "I don't know, they're 12 and 10. Am I my brother's keeper? Why can't they figure out? They don't know they're hungry? That doesn't even make any sense. But when I do feed them, I want to make sure she knows. She'll be like, "How was your day?" I said, "I did really good today. Fed the boys lunch." Let you know I'm a good dad, right? But this ruler, he didn't do that. He fell at Jesus' feet. There's a humility that you have to have. There's a humility that you have to have. If you're going to receive anything from God, the Bible says that he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if you're going to receive anything from God in our lives, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your relationship, whether it's in your job, whether it's any area of your life, the first thing that's going to start is your humility. You're going to have to be humble. You're going to have to say, oh, wait a second. It's not about me, it's about you. Now, my boys are 12 and 10. I told you that. They're amazing kids. I think they got some pictures to throw up of there, my boys. And that's our album cover that we shot back in the day when they were younger. Those are my two kids. They're 12 and 10. That's when they were younger. And they're fantastic kids. They're amazing kids. They're such great kids that today, while preaching on Father's Day, I said, hey, Brandon, do you want to travel with me while I preach and go back and forth? And he said, no. And I said, you don't want to travel? And he was like, nah. He said, I already committed to play drums at Weldon. So he's like, I'm going to go do that. Okay. Victoria's like, it's Father's Day. And he's like, eh, no. That's all right. So I said, hey, Preston, you want to ride with Dad while he travels back and forth? He said, no. He said that Faith Kids is happening at Weldon. So I'm going to go to Faith Kids because they need me at Weldon. I'm leading worship. Can I tell you, I got offended on Father's Day until the Lord was like, let me get this straight. You're upset because your kids are involved in church. But they're great kids. They're amazing kids. And when they were younger, it was so much easier. It was so much easier when they were younger. If you got grandkids or nieces or nephews or your own kids, when they were younger, things were simple. You could just give them a popsicle and fix everything. You hear what I'm saying? You could be like, Dad, I'm hungry. Popsicle. And you're the greatest dad on the planet. But now here's the crazy thing is, I think they have another picture that was taken Friday night at the event that we had. That's my family. Those are my two boys right there. And they're amazing. But can I tell you something? Popsicles don't fix their problems now. And can I tell you something? Popsicle prayers don't fix adult problems. Popsicle prayers don't work. What's a popsicle prayer? That's when you are in the fight of faith over something and you come into God and you're like, I need some help. And then you just walk off. Because here's the thing is, I thought about this morning. And some of you are looking at me like, how could you say that? Because here's the thing is, sometimes I think it's easier just to say what the Bible says and not do it. But he says, don't be a hearer of the word only. Because I started thinking about it. You go back to a sermon that I preached at the beginning of this year where I was laying on a couch. And I said, there will come a time in January. I said, there's going to come a time where you're going to have to walk this out. You can't just say things. You're going to have to do them. So it's easy for me. It's super simple for me to tell myself to walk in love when everyone's nice to me. That's easy. But when I get in traffic and people need to learn how to drive. Yeah. Some of you are looking at me so guilty. Listen, if everybody in traffic can't drive, you can't drive. That's what that is. If you're blaming everyone else in traffic, you ever been there before? You're like, this guy's cutting me off. This moron can't drive. This idiot can't drive over here. And you realize, you know, maybe it's my driving. Oh, well, then I hope you're excited because sunset's like, I'm done. You attacked my drive-in and I'm done. But popsicle prayers don't fix adult problems. They're not going to do it. You're going to have to really go after it. You're going to have to really sit down because here's the thing is, check this out. Verse 23, it says, and he implored him earnestly saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. Verse 24 says, and he went with him. So here's this father. Put yourself in this situation, please, this morning. Put yourself there. Here's this dad. And this dad has forgot about his reputation. All bets are off. He is going to Jesus. He's going to Jesus to say, hey, I need your help. And listen, his begging is not what moved Jesus. You ever had to beg God? You thought that the more you begged, that he would give in to whatever it is that you're begging about. I have a friend of mine one time that told me, he said, I remember the day that I just begged God to marry this woman. He's like, I was begging God to marry a woman, this particular woman. And I said, how'd it work? And he said, it didn't. He said, we didn't get married. And I said, really? And he said, no. But he said, you know what? 2 years later, I was so happy that that didn't work. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or for finger pointing, but aren't you glad you didn't marry the person that you thought you were going to marry when you were like in fifth grade? Some of you are like, But begging doesn't work with God. That's not what moved Jesus. His begging didn't move Jesus. His faith is what moved Jesus. His faith in his power to heal his daughter is what moved Jesus. His faith is what moved Jesus. Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He went to Jesus knowing, you can heal my daughter. That faith in him. The Bible says we should walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not moved by what I see. Remember, Peter didn't sink until he started looking at the wind and the waves. As long as his eyes were focused on Jesus, he was walking on water. It's when he began to look around that he began to sink. We walk by faith, not by sight. I love it in Hebrews. It actually says, they have the scripture. Throw that up there. It's Hebrews 11:6. Did I guess it right? Damn. Gosh, I'm on fire today. Man. And without faith, it is. Oh, say it with me. Ferguson, Weldon, online, all campus here at Sunset. Without faith, it is.
Impossible.
Say it again. It's.
Impossible.
It's impossible to please God. The God of the possible said without faith it's impossible. Faith moved Jesus. You've got to have faith. You've got to believe that what God said he was going to do, he'll do it. Yeah, but Pastor Phil, it doesn't look like it, because we were shouting like crazy in January. It's our banner year. It's my jubilee. God's bringing it in. Oh, hallelujah. And things got crazy. And now all of a sudden we're like, well, I don't know if it's my banner year or not. No. It didn't change. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I changed not. I'm not moved by this. But can we be honest? Can we say, okay, well, maybe it's my faith. I need to believe what he said will come to pass. It's impossible. It's impossible. You know, Lacey, come here for a second. Run up here really fast. So, I started to think about this. Place yourself, Weldon Ferguson, online. Think about this for a second. Here's Jairus, a father, okay? Now, as we know Jesus now, okay, everyone's going to be like super holy, right? But he wasn't that Jesus then. Though Jesus you know now, yes, and let me clear this up because I want you to send me an email talking about, don't talk about Jesus. Okay, listen, I'm saying he was Jesus Christ Ministries and it's rolling, right? Things are good. He's this prophet, everybody's loving him. It's not the Jesus that we know now as the Lord and Savior yet, okay? So think of Jairus in this moment. And here he is, a dad. I begged you. I said, hey, I believe that you can heal my daughter. I believe that that would happen, okay? And Jesus says, I'll go with you. Let's go. So now think of a dad. Think about you in this moment. If your kid's at home dying and he said, I'll go with you, you're not just going to be like, all right. No. How many of you guys are going to be like me and be like, hey, let's go. I need to show you where I live. It's not like Jesus was a GPS and knew exactly where he's going to show him where he lived. So get this. This is what happens. Read the text. So he's basically saying, hey, let's go. So Jairus takes off. Hey, I'm going to go. Let's go to my house. It's going to be great. You're going to hit. What are you doing? What? We got to go to my house. See, if you read the text, there was a woman with the issue of blood who came crawling up and said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. See, faith moved Jesus, but faith also stopped Jesus right where he was. Yeah. But think of the dad. Like, can you place yourself in that? I couldn't stop reading this text. If I was Jairus, here's what I would have done. What are you doing? And then he has the audacity to say, who touched me? The Bible does not exaggerate. When there is a multitude of people, that means there's a lot of people that are there. What do you mean, who touched me? Who cares who touched you? You're God. Shouldn't you already know who touched you? I don't care. I need you to get to my house. Have you ever been that way with God? Where you're praying. You're not going to be honest. I know this is going to be true. But I'm just going to do it. But I'm going to say it. But you don't have to raise your hand. Okay? You don't have to raise your hand. Unless you're honest. So if you're not honest, keep your hand down. No pressure. No pressure. There's a wife already raising her husband's hand. Like, I don't know what he's going to say, but I know you. So this hand's going up. But have you ever been believing God for something, but then something happens for somebody else that you know? Some of you may not have just been believing God for anything. You should step out. Thank you, Lacey. But here he is. Here he is. And he's saying, hey, what are you doing? Why aren't you coming with me? Why aren't you going? Here's the reasons why. Here's what I honestly think is the reason why. Number one, God wants to prove to us that he can do two things at one time. Yeah. Right? He can do for them and do for you at the same time. It's not like you ever been praying to God, but then you're like, I don't want to ask him for too much. You're like, I'll ask him to help me in my finances, but I'm not going to ask him to help me with my family because those are two different things. He can only do one or the other because I got some crazy people in my family, so he's going to have to put all of his faith in that one, not this one. But he can do two things at once. The other thing is, check this. Listen to me, Weldon. Here's the other thing. I think God wants to show us that he needs to lead us, not us trying to lead him. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. In other words, he's got to be in control. Jesus was not moved by the begging. He was moved by faith. That's what stopped him too. The faith also stopped him. And he's saying, hey, I'm not moved by this right now. I know where your faith is. Stand strong in your faith. Verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? The bearer of good news came up to Jairus. Hey, your daughter's dead. While he was still speaking, he's dealing with the woman of the issue with blood. And while he's saying this, Jairus is sitting there thinking, today's my day. Today's my day, today's my day, today's my day. And then somebody comes up and says, hey, real quick, she's dead. So you don't need to mess with him anymore. You're good. Someone from the outside affected the inside. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Something from the outside can affect the inside. Can I be honest with you today? I ask you a lot of questions because I want you to be honest. But have you ever been on Facebook before and somebody posts something, and then there's like 75 comments, and you know you shouldn't. You know you shouldn't. But you start reading every single one of those comments. There's an HOA Facebook page, a homeowners association Facebook page for ours. Can I tell you, it's my favorite page on the planet. These people get mad at trash cans, they get mad at cut grass, they get mad at where you park, fireworks, no fireworks, my dog don't like fireworks, my dog loves fireworks. And I mean, they go at it on this Facebook page. And can I tell you, I just sit there and I'm like, this is getting good. And Victoria's like, why are you on that? And I was like, they're mad. They're getting soup mad right now. It's getting out of control. But can I, some of you are looking at me like, how's this guy preaching on Sunday? How'd we get him? But can I tell you, sometimes somebody posts something, and what they post on the outside gets on the inside. Yeah, and then I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Now I start getting offended. Now I start getting angry. I start getting upset. Or they'll post something, and now all of a sudden my faith in what I was believing for starts to get hindered. I'll see something on the news and now my faith begins to get hindered. Something on the outside got on the inside. But if you look at this, verse 36, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said, now listen, if I have more time, I don't have a lot of time today, but I would spend an eternity on this. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said. Can I tell you today, Jesus hears every conversation that you have. You know that conversation is just you and your coworker talking about your boss? That one. You know the conversation you'll have in the car ride home about the preacher today? If it's bad, you heard that one. I just heard the Spirit of God say, true story. I'm telling you, I'm not a weirdo, but I'm just on the inside. He said, don't forget to tell him I also hear all the good. Yeah. And you reap what you sow. So overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear. Only believe. Do not fear. Do not fear. Only believe. Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, fear not. Fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. That's what Jesus is saying to Jairus in this moment. Hey, fear not. Don't worry about what someone said. I'm not focused on what they said. I'm focused on what I can do for you. Amen. Don't allow this to hinder the faith that you already have. Whatever it is that you're believing God for, don't let things hinder the faith that you already have. When you prayed and you were believing God for something big, maybe it was a business, and now all of a sudden things have gotten crazy and all these things, don't stop. God is still God and He still sits on the throne. I'm not moved by who is in office. Let me tell you this. I'm not moved by who's in office. And you know why? Because my God and my King doesn't get voted out. That's not the way this works. His throne is established forever. I'm not worried about it. One scripture says, what can man do to me? I tell Victoria this, and she's like, don't say that. I don't like it when you say that. But I tell her all the time, I don't care. I'm not afraid of death. Amen. Now, you may be sitting here like, he's lying. I'm telling you, I'm not. Because when I get to see Jesus, I'm not coming back. I'm not writing a book about what heaven looks like. I'm just telling you. She's like, you wouldn't come back? You'd leave us here? We would mourn your death. You should mourn me. It's Father's Day. You wouldn't come back. The boys would have to grow up. Well, listen, I'm going to be in heaven, and I hope y'all make it with me. Because I tell my kids all the time, there's nobody on this planet I love more than your mother, but there's nobody I love more than Jesus. And when I get to heaven, I got a lot of questions. And I've preached about a lot of the disciples, so I'm sure I'm going to have to answer a lot of things that I've said. They may be waiting on me like, yes, this is the day. We've been waiting. Because when you get to heaven, I'm not moved by it. I'm not in fear of it. Because that's what we're doing this for. Listen, this life on earth is short. Eternity is forever. When I get to heaven and I see Jesus face to face, everything that I've been believing for, everything that I've ever wanted, my whole life will be wrapped up into that moment. And I cannot wait for that moment. Now listen, don't get me twisted. I don't want to die tonight. Some of you are looking at me like, we can make this happen right now. I'm saying I don't fear it. Because that's what I'm believing for. So when I get there, plus when you get to heaven and you see Jesus and you see all of heaven and all of his glory, you're not going to want to come back. Because the minute you come back, then you're going to get in an argument with your spouse and you're going to be like, I should have stayed. Tell your kids to do something and they're like, I'm not doing that. And you're like, oh God, I should have stayed with you. Now I'm going to kill this kid. That's how this is going to work. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be moved by outside circumstances. Yeah, but Pastor Phil, you don't understand that, you know, they laid me off and all these things are going on. Fear not. God said, I'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My faith is not in a system. My faith is not, and I'm not going on a tangent here. I'm just telling you, my faith is not in a system. My faith is in Jesus. You think God's in heaven like, man, this is, woo, these streets of gold. Man, we may have to pawn some of this in order to get everything down there. Take a chip off of that and send it down to him. He's not worried about it. The Bible actually says he sits in the heavens, and this is my favorite, and laughs. Laughs. He just laughs. I think he's just laughing at all the tricks the devil is trying to do to get us thrown off. And he just laughs like, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. So in this moment, Jesus says to him, fear not. Fear not. I'll skip down verse 39. It says, when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child's not dead, but sleeping. They laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. When I first read that, I was like, ooh, that's not good. Like, you laughed at Jesus? That can't be good. But then I started thinking about, have you ever laughed at Jesus? Because I have. When God said, hey, do this, this, and this. And I'm like, that's not going to work. Love your enemies. Doesn't even make sense. I'll pray for them, all right. You ever pray for your enemies? Like I've prayed for enemies. You just walk into God and you're like, kill them. Or have you ever prayed with the intent where the Bible says that when you pray for people that are like your enemies, it'll heap like coals of fire on your head, and that's the only thing you think about while you're praying for them? It's just like, man, that charcoal is going to burn them. God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the heart, the thoughts, the intents of the heart. They laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the, I love this part, into verse 40. He took the child's father and mother and those who were with him. He put them all outside. Why? He didn't put them outside because he didn't love them. He put them outside because they were hindering the faith that he was about to do. They were hindering the faith. That's why he put them outside. But Jesus put them outside. But the father and the mother, and I couldn't help but think of J. Iris. Listen to me, Weldon and Ferguson and online. Here's what he did. He put them outside. But the father, who had went and made himself of no reputation, who had the faith in Jesus to heal his daughter, who had the humility to fall at his feet, The father is sitting there and watches his baby be raised from the dead. Again, I told you at the beginning of this, my son is 12, so I could picture him in that moment. And I know as a father, I would do whatever it took for my boys, whatever it would take. I'll do anything to make sure they're okay. And can I tell you today, at all campuses, that God, the Father in heaven, did whatever it took. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He so loved the world and everybody in it that he gave his only son. For the Roman soldier who was driving the nail in his hands, Jesus died for him. For the people as he was walking down to Villa Dolorosa that struck him, that would punch him, that would beat him, he gave his life for them. He gave his only son, the true making of a father's love. With every head bowed and every eye closed, whether you're in Sunset Hills or online, Weldon, Ferguson, wherever you're at, I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus today. I'm telling you, it's the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. The Father sent Jesus to die for you. And you may be sitting here, sitting there, and you're thinking, yeah, but you don't know all the stuff I did, Pastor Phil. It doesn't matter. He died for all of it. The Bible actually says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to give you that opportunity to receive him today. And I'm not going to ask you to go down to the front of any of the campuses or anything else, just right where you're at online. Ferguson, Weldon, here in Sunset. I want you to raise your hand if you say, I need to receive Jesus today. I need to make sure that my calling is, I can't wait to get to heaven, but I want to make sure that my calling is sure today. There's hands going up all over. Don't be afraid. In this moment, you're falling at his feet saying, I need you. I need a Savior in my life. And I want everyone to repeat this prayer after me and say it bold and say it strong. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. And I believe that he died for my sins and he rose again after 3 days. My past is over. My mistakes have been forgotten. And my life is new. In him, in Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. Can you stand up to your feet all over and let's just worship God together today.
Thank you so much for listening today. And I want to encourage you to share this podcast. And here's the reason why. You know, a lot of times we see our friends and they don't tell us what's really going on. You go, hey, Bob, are you all right? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. But deep down in their soul, something's going on. And I believe today there were certain things that was said that perhaps would help your friends. So now that you've subscribed, why don't you just text them? Let them know about this resource that's available. Of course, you can check out more sermons at faithchurch.com. And I love praying for you, trying to encourage you in the best way that I can. And I think the best thing we can do is to encourage one another by sharing these podcasts.